שלום חברים. ברוך הבא לכל מקשיבים. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach Betoch Yisrael. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My friends, from time to time, I feel I must step out from within my message material just to say how very grateful I am to you for your encouraging letters. I want you to know that I read every one of them personally, even if I cannot find time to answer personally on each occasion. I am also deeply grateful to those of you whose confidence and interest in my ministry has prompted you to contribute financially to its support. It is our principle to abstain from indiscriminate public appeals for financial enablement. Yet you should know that we have no sponsorship but yours. I think you should also know that on our journey together over the books of Tanakh, the so-called Old Testament, it was not my original intention to devote more than a few messages to the Mishkan, the tabernacle in the wilderness, because I intended to return to that theme later. However, I have been so amazed and so delighted with your approval of this entrancing study that I have indeed extended these current messages, even though we shall, I hope, return to a more exhaustive examination later on. Before I ask you to accompany me in a fascinating inquiry regarding the symbolism of the kaporet or lid which covered the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies, I am wondering if you have yet sent in for your copy of my little brochure on the subject of a possible future invasion of the Holy Land. It is only a few pages, but I believe you will find it interesting. If, when sending, you could relieve us of the postage charges, we would be very grateful. And now to our fascinating subject, the lid which covered the marvelous Ark of God which stood within the Holy of Holies. A lid or cover of a box or chest or casket is not ordinarily regarded as being of any importance beyond and above the normal purpose it serves. It is usually, well, just a lid or cover, nothing less, nothing more. But such can never be said of the lid or cover which covered the Ark of God in the Holy of Holies. In the first place, it possessed a name peculiar to itself, a name never applied to any other object in the whole of Scripture record. This distinctive name is, in Hebrew, kaporet, and this very word is in itself full of enlightenment for us. Let us unearth its treasure together. The Hebrew word kaporet is derived from the root kafor, and its meaning unfolds and opens out to us like the petals of some fragrant flower. The first use of this root in its verbal form occurs in Genesis chapter 6, verse 14, where the Eternal God commands the patriarch Noah in these words, "Make thee a vessel of gopher wood, and pitch it within and without with pitch." Commenting on this verse, our great Jewish commentator, Rashi, observes that the fury of the waters of divine judgment at the great deluge was so devastating that the vessel constructed by Noah had to be covered both outside and inside with a viscous bitumen-like substance in order to guarantee the security and protection of the vessel's living refugee cargo. Here, then, is the basic, essential meaning. It signifies a divinely provided protective covering from divine judgment upon sin and lawlessness, a covering available to all. We find the shadow of this basic meaning on the very next occasion the word is used in Genesis. You will remember the account of Jacob's prospective meeting with his offended brother Esau. Jacob was in great fear of the wrath and judgment of Esau, so we read that he sent on ahead gifts in order to appease Esau. The record reads that Jacob said, "I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept me." Rashi declares that the verb in this pi'el form really means, "I will wipe out his anger." Nachmanides goes a step further and affirms that the wiping out is by means of ransom. Jacob's advance messengers were to tell Esau that Jacob was sending the gift as a ransom to appease Esau's wrath. Another and most interesting shade of meaning is found in the nounal form of the root, where it conveys the idea of a shelter. This appears in the Hebrew noun kafar, meaning a village. That locality, situated on the shores of the Sea of Galilee and popularly known as Capernaum, is really Kafar Nahum, the village which sheltered the prophet Nahum. I'll give you one more illustration. I am sure you will be interested to learn that a verbal derivative from the same root occurs in the well-known 6th chapter of Isaiah, where Isaiah declares, "Then flew unto me one of the seraphim, with a glowing stone in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin expiated." Here the verbal form, tuchufar, is translated by the word expiated, which means to have made atonement for any offense committed, and that is precisely how the verbal form is used in our Jewish holy scriptures. Where judgment or wrath is imminent or incurred, a cover, a shelter, a protection, a ransom, an expiation is provided, which is, and here's the point, mutually satisfactory to both the outraged one and the perpetrator of the outrage. Is it any wonder that in some 80 passages in the Tanakh, the word kafar, in one or other of its forms, has been translated into English by the word atone or atonement? Surely now we are adequately backgrounded to understand the hope-inspiring name given to the lid or cover of the Ark of God. The book of Exodus from chapter 25 gives us insights into the construction and position of the Kaporet. But it is the important 16th chapter of Leviticus which describes its use. There we learn that the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies once a year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and acting as mediator between God and the people, he sprinkled the blood of atonement upon and in front of the ark cover. The effect of this God-provided atonement is beautifully brought out by the use of the root idea in another connection, in Isaiah 28:18, where the Hebrew reads, "V'hichupar britchem et mavet," which is translated, "And your covenant with death shall be disannulled." My dictionary tells me that to disannul anything means to make it void, to treat it as if non-existent. And when God provides the sinner with an atonement for sin, and the sinner avails himself of it, God treats the sinner's sin as if it had been non-existent. It would be an unfortunate mistake to imagine the atonement as something done by man to pacify God. On the contrary, it was something provided by a holy, gracious, and merciful God to shelter sinful, fallen man. Our Jewish Septuagint or Greek version of Tanakh translates the Hebrew Kaporet by the Greek Hilasterion, and using this Greek word as a clue, we find it employed in the New Testament, where we read in Romans 3:25, "For everybody has sinned, and everybody continues to come short of God's glory, but anybody may have right standing with God as a free gift of his undeserved favor through the ransom provided in Messiah Yeshua. For God once for all publicly offered him in his blood as a sacrifice of reconciliation." There is that word, hilasterion. Indeed, Israel's ancient sacrificial system surely taught Israel that his only hope lay in the atoning death of a representative. How well the blood-sprinkled Kaporet, Hilasterion, symbolized the atoning death of Yeshua HaMashiach, thus upholding the law of God, revealing the love of God, and bringing nigh to both Jew and Gentile the resurrection life of God. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmrecha, Ya'er Adonai p'nov eilecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai p'nov eilecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.